Let's begin with Scripture, which is always a good place to start, so that you'll know that I'm not making up either the idea of the scepter or the birthright out of whole cloth. Genesis 49:10 says, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet until Shiloh comes." Then, if you would turn to 1 Chronicles 5:1-2, which says, "Now the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel," and then in parentheses, "for he was the firstborn, but because he defiled his father's bed, his birthright was given to the sons of Joseph, the son of Israel," so that he is not enrolled in the genealogy according to the birthright. "Though Judah prevailed over his brothers, and from him came the leader, yet the birthright belonged to Joseph." Now the scepter blessings, privileges, and promises belong to Judah. Last time we spoke quite a bit about the birthright, but we'll continue on with both of them at this point. So the scepter blessings, privileges, and promises belong to Judah. From him comes the royal line of Israel. This is the line that David was in, and Jesus himself. It was signified when Joseph, that is Israel, gave the blessing of Genesis 49 to all his sons. It was declared and ratified by God himself. Now, birthright is an accident of birth to the one who is born first as a male. In the first covenant that God made with Abraham, there are two distinct features. One is the amount of descendants promised, and the other is that kings will come from you. Well, that's speaking of the line of Judah, from whom the scepter will not depart. These covenant promises become the inheritance of Isaac, who was the first heir in the line, and also the one the Lord chose as the inheritor of what had been given his father. It was his birthright. At the time of his death, Abraham had 66 other lawful sons. These were children of Keturah, his second wife. Regardless, all Abraham's earthly possessions were given to Isaac and no other. It is recorded in Genesis 25:5-6 as follows. "Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac, but to the sons of his concubines, Abraham gave gifts while he was still living, and sent them away from his son Isaac eastward to the land of the east." Isaac became the heir to all Abraham had because he was the firstborn. Now, you're probably saying Ishmael was the firstborn, but this is pertinent to the promise coming only through Isaac and not through Ishmael, and not the sons of Keturah either. So those possessions came to Isaac as the right of the firstborn, or by right of birth. This is something he had no control over. This is also true regarding the blessings promised to Abraham, which contained innumerable descendants and a royal line. Esau was next in line for possession of the promises since he was the firstborn in succession. He was born first before Jacob. His was the birthright, but instead of keeping it, as you well know, he did not value it sufficiently and sold it to his brother Jacob, though he was not the firstborn and could not have obtained it by right of birth. You won't find anybody arguing that Esau did not have the right to sell his birthright, not in Scripture, and I don't know that you would find it anyplace else. But Jacob was anxious to obtain that birthright and so felt that he must purchase it from his older brother. But also he knew that he must deceive his father to secure the blessing of it. There's no doubt that the birthright was lawfully Esau's. Jacob also went into his father lying to the blind old man that he was indeed Esau. Isaac was not buying it at first, since the hands were not sufficient proof, because the voice was suspicious. Jacob, of course, was well named. His name means supplanter, or one who trips up, as he was after that which belonged to his brother. And he walked out with that which belonged to his brother. From the human side of things, Jacob deluded his father, Isaac, into granting him the blessing that was reserved for the firstborn. That could not be revoked. Hence Isaac said to Esau, no matter how he cried and wailed, I have blessed him and he shall be blessed. Now if you would look at Genesis 28, 1 through 4. So Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said to him, you shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Paddan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and from there take to yourself a wife from the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may become a company of peoples. There's the many descendants part of the covenant. May he also give you the blessing of Abraham to you and your descendants with you, that you may possess the land of your sojournings, which God gave to Abraham. There is the connection and the passing on of the blessing of Abraham to Jacob and his descendants. Now God all the time intended for Jacob to have the birthright. And so it seems that had Jacob simply trusted God to do it his way, it would have come in a perfectly honorable way. Instead, as often is the case with human beings, Jacob took matters into his own hands and gained possession of the birthright by and through wickedness. And Jacob brought trouble upon himself for doing so. Now next in line is Reuben as the legal inheritor of the birthright. He was the firstborn of Jacob and Leah. This is Jacob's first wife. Reuben was in line to succeed his father in the possession of the birthright, but it didn't turn out that way. Reuben defiled his father's bed, as we read when we first started this study. So Joseph, the firstborn of Rachel, who was the second and most loved wife of Jacob, succeeded his father in the birthright. Reuben was disinherited. That Reuben was in line for the blessings clearly stated in Genesis 43:33. You look at the order in which they were seated before Joseph, the firstborn according to his birthright and the youngest according to his youth. And it says then that the men looked at one another in astonishment at that particular situation. That's the Egyptians that's speaking of there. So the separation of the scepter and the birthright takes place just before the death of Jacob, who had both of these blessings at his disposal. At the time of Jacob's death, all Israel was living in the land of Goshen, as you know. When Jacob was dying, Joseph went to his father's side, who it seems was given some supernatural strength to even stand up, but he did lean on his cane, as the Hebrews passage says. For he was able to strengthen himself and sit up in bed when Joseph and his two sons arrived. This is Joseph now. After an introduction of his boys from Joseph's Egyptian wife, Joseph proceeded to adopt them as his own legal sons. We find this out at Genesis 48, 5 and 6. Concerning the two newly adopted sons, Joseph said, Jacob said, "Now to your two sons, who were born to you in the land of Egypt before I came to you in Egypt, are mine. Ephraim and Manasseh shall be mine, as Reuben and Simeon are. But your offspring that have been born after them shall be yours. They shall be called by the names of their brothers in their inheritance. So it is that all the posterity of Joseph are dealt with, both from a historic and a prophetic point of view, as Ephraim and Manasseh." The Lord had apparently chosen Ephraim and somehow told Joseph, communicated it to him somehow, who would be the inheritor of the birthright, that is, the blessing of the firstborn. Manasseh was the older, Ephraim the younger. Manasseh, by all accounts, and his name appears first, should have the, until the blessing, that is, should have his, been, should have been given the birthright of his, of the firstborn. Joseph only found out when the blessing was being given that God had another plan. The right hand of Jacob was placed on Ephraim. Joseph tried to maneuver them to make sure that didn't happen, but it did, by placing Manasseh on his left and Jacob's right. But it didn't go as he planned either. Jacob crossed his hands. Notice the blessing of Jacob while putting Ephraim first. "I know, my son, I know. He will become a people, and he will also become a people, and he will, I'm sorry, and he will also be great. However, his younger brother shall be greater than he." So the first part's about Manasseh, the second part now is about Ephraim. "However, his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his descendants shall become a multitude of nations. He blessed them that day, saying, 'By you, Israel, will pronounce the blessings, saying, may God make you like Ephraim and Manasseh.' And thus he put Ephraim before Manasseh." Together they grow into a multitude of people. This is a reiteration of the blessing given to Abraham, but to the one it is specific. Ephraim was elevated to the inheritance due to Reuben forfeiting his birthright. In Jeremiah 31:9, God says, "I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn." He does not say Manasseh. Ephraim is Israel. When the spirit, with the spirit of prophecy still on him, Jacob calls in all of his other sons to tell them a word from God. Among those are the words to Judah and the scepter in Genesis 49:10. Since the promise of fathering many nations was given to Abraham and later to Jacob, then passed on to Joseph and his two sons, of course I'm skipping over a few details, and is never revoked, then Joseph must become the father of those many nations that were promised to his forefathers. Reading then in Hebrews 11:21-22, it says, "By faith Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff." Verse 22, "By faith Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel and gave orders concerning his bones." So all this was done by faith, based upon the promise of God Almighty. It was faith in the promise of God Almighty as well. And God will see to it. So we'll leave it at that and tell you, as always, from the top and the bottom and the middle of our heart, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. So until we see each other again, Lord willing, shalom.